Crime Live on Republic Broadcasting Network. I don't believe I mentioned the date last. Maybe I hope I did. It's September the 16th, 2023. And you're listening, like, I'm Stephen Douglas Whitener, your host, and I've been talking about January 6th and basically the war on the people that this government is continuously waging, and that little section of it. And we've played a teaser and a trailer for an upcoming film at 1,000 Days of Terror. Is that a what? Could you repeat that? Is it dot? Yeah. What dot? What?
It's dot com. So one
dot com. Okay, it's 1,000Days of Terror.com. Okay. And a friend of mine who had initially was going to join us has called in. My friend Jake. Jake, are you there? Would you like to ask David a question? If you've been following along with this thing, we're talking about this upcoming film. I want to.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I'm not familiar with the film, but I'm familiar with what's going on with the January 6th stuff.
Yeah. Well, you're a little bit low there, but
can you hear me now? Is that better?
I don't know. I'm sorry. Let me. I can't quite make you out, sir. But maybe we'll. Jake is a homesteader out in Missouri, a friend of mine. My initial thought was that, you know, this is the person that is being made war on by the government. That's just who the enemy is to the government. These people out here trying to become self-sufficient, to do their own thing, just do exactly what David had described locally, organizing with people, just, you know, that to become as self-sufficient as possible. That is fighting back. You know, that's about the only way right now I know to fight back. That's the way I see it anyway, David.
They don't want us to think for themselves. They sure don't want us to be self-sufficient or self-reliant. They want everyone dependent on the government so that they can, you know, exact pound of flesh however they see fit, you know. And for people to step out there and say, I don't agree, we're seeing what happens to us. You know, under this tyrannical regime, we're seeing what happens. And, you know, after J6, we told people, hey, you know, they're coming for you next. And they said, no, we didn't go to J6. We didn't do stupid things. We saw what y'all did. And I said, no, really, if you speak out against them. And then they went to their school board meeting, and they said, we don't like CRT. And then boom, 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 same FBI banging on the door. Hey, guys, what'd you say? They're like, we didn't go to J6. You know, so, I mean, that's literally where we live. And a lot of
I have a better angle on the cell tower now?
Thanks. I thought I heard you come in. Sorry.
Okay. I got to move around sometimes because I'm out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, gotcha.
But they had an incident recently with the Liberty Safe thing. They had an incident recently with the Liberty Safe thing that kind of got people's attention a little bit. And then also they've had attachments for firearms that they just willy-nilly kind of make illegal. So.
Yeah.
People think, well, hey, I didn't go to January 6th. They're not coming for me. It's like now they're tracking bank records. They're tracking all this stuff. And, you know, you think you're safe, but that can change really quick. You know, January 6th was just a public example of what they're going to do to you. So that was the warning shot.
That's a great way to put it, man. I'm going to steal that line. It's just a public example, huh? Man, that's great.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, you don't have to punish the whole class. You just find the one kid that's acting out the most, and you throw the book at him.
That's right.
And it scares everybody else into submission.
Yeah, I tell you
what, true.
Jake, it's funny. They tried to do that to me all through school, so I'm used to it. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I sat many a day in the principal's office during history class.
That's right. That's right.
Because I'm like, that's not what happened. My grandpa told me.
Well, that's great, man. And look, us free thinkers got to stick together. And, you know, it's not about violence. It's not about anything except freedom to do as I please. That's my version of seeking happiness, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And they try to take that.
But they don't have a laissez-faire attitude about the rest of America. They're trying to go hands-on with people, and because of that, we need a strategy. And, you know, I don't know if you ever played Red Rover when you were a kid, and everybody lines up, and, you know, you think you're on the team that you're standing with, but but really people can be switching teams fairly quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what's happening is they've divided America so much, and they've got us all pitted against each other based on income, based on race, based on gender, based on, you know, any faction that they can separate us with. And the truth is, in America, we have so much more in common than we have that we're fighting over, and people have lost sight of that. And I had a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday, kind of as a warm-up, and he's kind of a really staunch liberal. He will argue with me about anything, but it's good to have that kind of debate as well, because sometimes people will see stuff that they'll hit your blind spots, you know. So it's good to engage in those conversations, even if they're irritating.
Man.
But I had that conversation with him, and we had kind of, you know, were able to reach a consensus. And I said, yeah, well, look at what they're doing to us, you know. I said, they're dividing us. And he's not the same color skin as I am or anything. And so we were able to have a discussion along those racial lines, too. And I said, look, we both grew up here in this country. We both wanted to be able to raise kids and have a better family, have a better future for them than we had for ourselves. That was our dream, you know. And they're turning it into, you know, chaos and war against each other along class lines and race lines. And I said, did you dream of that when you were growing up? And he's like, no, you know. And I said, well, that's where we're at. And I said, only people like you and me having a conversation together can change that.
Wow.
You know, and it really opened the door there, because I see this whole thing as this us versus them kind of mentality. And it's real that the wrong uses and the wrong thems.
You're right. We were talking just a minute ago, Jake, and I said it's like when you get in trouble, when you get blamed for it, but it wasn't you, and that's when you're pitting against. You know, I'm not mad at the left because they get preferential treatment. I'm mad at the people given the preferential treatment.
Well, and they don't understand the script's going to flip. They're getting preferential treatment now.
Yeah.
You know, they're the class favorite now, but you just haven't kicked enough kids out of the class yet. They're next on the list.
That's right. Well, what's funny is, you know, the pendulum swings. And, brother, I'm telling you right now, you're like an honorary Stop Hate ambassador already. We literally were talking about this at the beginning of the show of how, and we've got to have some of those difficult conversations with other people, because we have way more in common that we need to focus on than our petty little differences that the government uses against us so that we'll hate each other. We're mad because BLM didn't get punished, right? That's the principal thing, not them.
Mm-hmm.
They're mad.
Yeah. You can't ignore the fact that there's definitely an anti-white crusade out there, too. Our government is trying to wipe out the straight white Christian male. You know, that's
BLM. BLM didn't
one.
Get BLM didn't get Sorry. Punished because they were being used as a tool to punish the other half.
That's right. And
that's why they didn't get punished. There's no other reason that they didn't. But there will come a day when they have punished enough people on the right that when the people on the left start to do what they did during BLM, they're gonna be under the chopping block as well.
That's it. If you look like a nail at some point, you're going to get hammered. You know, that's just the way it is. Everybody's a nail. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee we think the white people are the ones being hunted. Black people think they're the ones being done this way. Mm-hmm. Brown people think the same way. Yeah, you know.
And they're all right.
Religious people. I mean, we all feel the same way. We see this, and that's the intentional division that J6 put on us. It's a horrible situation, and the culprits need to be imprisoned, whatever the consequences are, whatever. But they also need to be taken, you know, all the money back that they've stolen from the American people. I promise you, their holdings, their assets, their stocks, their bonds, their bank accounts, their homes, because the American public, as a taxpayer, doesn't need to pay all the things that we owe society, and not just J6ers. You know, this is a profitable country. It's just not profitable to us. You know, if we can throw billions of dollars to the Ukraine, If I ran for president, bro, I would say, look, in the first 6 months, I'm going to put $3 million in each American's bank account, and I'm going to shut these people down. I'm going to put them in jail. I'm going to seize their assets. I'm going to get that all worked out within 6 months and give you all a paycheck. Now, don't spend it all in one place. Don't know if you'll ever get another one, but we're going to try to do a profit-sharing thing instead, you know, because that's the way it was supposed to be in the beginning, and they have robbed us. They've bastardized our system, and they're stealing us blind every day. Of our rights and our freedoms and our liberties and everything.
Well, I have to say it was a con.
Part of the people.
Now, listen, this Constitution, you know, they replaced the Articles of Confederation with We the People PSYOP, the People Incorporated, and it's been recycling it through the banks ever since. You know, these masters of war have been doing that. Okay, that's the same people have done that. And once I realized that, you know, I don't know how it's going to work with getting any justice with this Just Us system. There's no, you know, you to appeal to a court. I mean, I'm thinking of what happened with that Baby Cyrus thing up with Ammon Bundy that Casey Whalen has been following, and they sued them to shut him up. You know, you see Jim Fetzer got sued and Alex Jones. This whole thing just seems like it's designed to make it more difficult for anyone to speak out, to stand up and really say what the truth that they feel, to say that this, you know, what do you guys think? Don't you think that maybe is part of the whole PSYOP? They're trying to find ways to just shut us up.
Absolutely. Don't you think, Jake? Scare us into submission, right?
Well, I mean, that's basically what the whole January 6th overblown thing was all about, you know, because January 6th in itself, while it was unfortunate, was not really that big a deal compared to other things that had happened and were happening in the country. They just picked that as the one thing that they were going to go after. And I think a lot of people see through that. But like I said, you got this Red Rover situation where people feel like, well, our side has to win. You know, we have to win power or we're going to be the victim, you know. And so there's this self-interest of promoting your side no matter how outrageous it gets. You know, it's like you can say, well, I'm a Republican. It's like, well, look at some of the Republicans that are, you know, stealing money left and right. And you got the same problem as you do with the Democrats that are just as corrupt. And they all back each other up. So it's not the left versus right. It's us versus Washington. And
yes.
When they can't even let somebody like RFK get a platform to speak, they're not even going to let him have a foot in the door. You know,
right.
I mean, when I went to school, they said, well, anybody can become president, you know. And I didn't believe my teacher then, you know, but after they've lowered the bar, I kind of believe her now. But no, it's they'll only let people who are politically aligned with their agenda in, you know. So there's a machine behind the machine. The politician is just a bag man that's holding it when everything goes down. So we need to organize in a way that creates a solution. Because I think we've talked about the problem as a society quite a bit, and we need to start talking more about solutions.
Well,
and we need to use the energy that we have to be able to create things instead of have a standoff, if that makes sense.
That's right. But you know what? We've been lulled into laziness. You know, we're lethargic. Mm-hmm. We don't want to pay attention. We want to be entertained. We're way over-entertained. And our short-term memory loss and, you know, that all lends to the media cycle. It's so fast and we can't pay attention, and there's so many influencers, there's so many stories and so many angles. But we were just talking during the break about how to beat the voting system. And people, you know, you always talk about write-in candidates, and everybody says, that will never work. You can't get enough people to do that. Well, if enough people did that, it would work. So people are lazy.
Yep.
That's on them. But the truth is, if we organize, if we listen to Trump, when he got inaugurated, he said, I'm giving the power back to the people. Or if we listen to Flynn or others that say, you have to organize locally. If you put those two things together, you can take over your local governments, your local municipalities, your school boards, your everything. And I was telling Stephen, look, I will never fill out another bubble. I will do my homework. I will study in my town. I will see who the best representatives are. You don't have to do the debates. You don't have to do the money. You don't have to do the signatures. You don't have to play their games or put up with their stuff. You just say, hey, I'm going to be the guy. And you locally organize and find out, hey, Sammy's going to be the next guy for us. Okay, let's give Sammy a shot. Everybody write Sammy. And that's it. And you're done. And you beat the system. It kicks us out of the electronic side, so you're not getting ripped there. You do your own checks and balances. You have everybody register that they voted, that they wrote your name, and then you have something to compare it. And well, Sammy didn't get but 5,000 votes. Wait, our database says he got 8,000. We need a recount immediately. Pull all those ballots out and show them to me. That's how you do this, folks. But you have to be willing to take the right color pen and write the name and spell it correctly and do your due diligence and study locally and be involved in your own future, in your own life, in the future of your kids. That's the biggest thing. I'll do anything to to make this world a better place for our kids, because we can't leave it like this. We have torn it up, it's destroyed, and they deserve better.
I have to agree with you there, but I see no, I mean, I just don't think that we can vote our way out of this. We're going to have to just turn away from this system and create our own is the only thing I see happening that might have viability. But, I mean, you know, just that,
I get
that whole thing. I mean, locally, I think about that. We are around here locally. We are organizing it. People's Rights.org has done some of those kind of organizing things on a local level, and that I think would help. I've seen some people here around locally that were rhinos. They were like rhino hunters, but you know, they just for a place for like-minded people to come together is about the only use I've seen that out of that local organization.
Well, you know what, that's community. And what it's going to take is somebody setting an example of how this looks and be successful, and then it will spread like wildfire. Let me tell you one way that this could happen overnight is if they kept Trump off the ballot. And then Trump made the announcement, if you want me to be president, you're going to have to write my name in the ballot. Oh, and by the way, that goes for every office from here down. Go change America. And we would do it.
I don't know. I just don't see political answers myself. But at least, you know. Yeah. Hey, we got the first break, folks. We'll take some calls when we come back.
Marching. I hear marching outside my window in the rain. I play checkers. I'm sick of checkers.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
We're going to ride the wind before it's gone here. I'm talking with David Sumrall of StopHate.com and my friend Jake in Missouri, a homesteader out by the Ozarks. And, you know, we were talking about organizing, trying to fight back and political solutions and stuff like that. And, I mean, the only thing that has really meeting people in real life and having conversations that you can't have online, face-to-face without your phone around, maybe is the way things need to go. We do have some events here locally at a place called the Dixie Republic. Some like-minded folks are able to get together. I mean, and then I could mention then there's the peoplesrights.org that will help put you in touch with people. And you know, you got to be, I heard the owner of the Dixie Republic say the thing you do is you just be above reproach and ignore whoever might be trying to thwart your efforts. That was his advice. And let me toss it back to you guys to chew on that for a second before we go to our callers. We got a couple of callers.
Man, I tell you what, I can't wait to talk to some people about that last conversation has just impressed me so much that, you know, a lot of times it's like, I'm not the only one, or we're not the only two. You know, the people across America feel like this. We just need to accentuate it more. We need, you know, conversations about these conversations, and it's not popular, it's not, you know, sensational, it's not trendy, it's not fashionable, it's real. And back to the basics, back to God, and back together should be an everyday mission for all of us. And until it is, we're going to keep suffering these problems, man. It's just the way it is.
That was well put. All right, we'll take some calls here. First, we have Tom in Florida. Tom, thanks for joining us, sir. What would you like to say?
Good morning, you gentlemen. What I'd like to say is I have a dream. I have a dream that we have the same immigration laws as Israel, and me and Mexico. I want the same immigration laws because the Dreamers, Stephen, a federal judge ruled for the second time that DACA is illegal. So now we're going to see where the chickens come home to roost. Who's going to kick all these illegals out of here, or are they going to kick them out? They broke federal law. Their parents have criminal records already by breaking federal law, sneaking into the United States. And we're going to have millions of illegal aliens now want to become get green cards and pathway to citizenship. I don't think so. I think let's start taking care of Americans first, last and always, white and black, and the ones that are here who came here legally, not illegal. If you came here illegally, you're gonna, like Bill Clinton says, we are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. If you come here illegally, you have to stand and go back to your country origin and stand in line. Now I want to see what Republicans are gonna actually enforce that. Or are they going to enforce it? Or is this a big bunch of hot air, bunch of bull crap? You know, in the meantime, our makeup of our country is changing browner and browner, and we'll end up being in the minority. And when we do, you're looking at an all-out CW, in my opinion. And it could happen around anywhere from like 2040 on. But we have got to take our country back. The white majority, who still has the majority, has got to hold on to the majority. If you become the minority, as you well know, they'll kick you out in, out of all these areas that you thought that you were protecting for the last 100 or 200 years. Hell, they'll even try to take over. They'll even try to take over the Midwest and Appalachia and all that. Who knows what's going to happen if we don't stop this immigration invasion or conquest? That's what I call it, Stephen, a conquest. I say now that day the federal judge ruled twice. All these illegals, I don't care, for the last 20 years have got to go back to their country of origin and wait their turn if they can even make it here as citizens. Otherwise, what kind of government, what kind of makeup do we have in the country? You bringing people here illegally that broke federal law, and all of a sudden they want to come here and take over your landmass. Let them go to South America. Let them go to Mexico. Let's have the same immigration laws that Mexico has, and we'll save this country. If not, we're going to lose the country and the language and everything. We've got to stop it, Stephen, at all costs.
I agree with you. That's what's happening, that we are being invaded. That it is, but I don't think even being in, they are doing their best to completely.
And I say to Donald Trump, all the white monuments that were torn down, they all be put back. They're all gonna be put
back.
All the monuments
like South Africa, it seems like to me, Tom. Let me ask my guest if they'd like to respond, sir. We got the first break. We'll be right back. Can you hang on to your time? We'll be right back, folks.
Flag, and I will be your lover, and I will show you grotto and cave and sacrificial altar, and I will show you.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm on to something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model Easy 4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Earlier that there is a chat room if you'd like to interact at the Chitango Thought Crime Live, Chitango or Chatango, Chitango.com, and howdy to y'all in the chat room. And I'm joined by David Sumrall of StopHate.com and Jake from Missouri, and we have Tom on Florida, Tom from Florida on the line. And let me let you guys respond to what Tom was saying, David.
What's that?
Oh, yeah, he was talking about the immigration. Would you like to respond to that?
Absolutely. Let me just say, a lot of people misinterpret, I believe, if I'm interpreting correctly what you're saying. There's a certain amount of pride for each community, a certain amount of history that we can't destroy, whether it's good or bad. And you know, I think there's definitely been that angle we were talking about earlier, Tom, that, you know, things that they do to us to make the other side matter, things that they let the other side, you know, get away with to make us matter. You know, it's like the principal in the school. And instead of us kids getting mad at each other for getting preferential treatment or harsh penalties or whatnot, we should be mad at the principal for not being fair and just. That's our justice system. And you know, I agree with, you know, what he was saying about leaving our history up. You know, I think it's horrible to think that that can be erased and or repeated. Some of those things are reminders, you know, and it's just an amazing time we live in to see the censorship and to see that. But yeah, I'm of course totally against any kind of violence. I understand what you're saying about becoming the minority. I think, you know, as a collective, we already are. And I think it's really up to us to, you know, focus on the similarities and really reach across the other side. I can say this, we haven't been the best about it ourselves. And you know, I'm not saying we have to be the ones that set the example, but I think we all need to meet in the middle somewhere. Our very survival depends on it, not only individually, but as the most powerful, strongest, best nation in the world. And that's something we all have to work together. So until we decide that the common enemy is the government and not each other, and that they keep doing these things to us, it's not us that's doing this to us as much as we've been programmed on both sides, man, both sides.
Well, now that part, I have to agree with you, that the psyops are being worked on us constantly. And it's trying to sort that out, sort out what's truth and what are lies. You know, that's hard to do. And they are trying to make just thinking at all for yourself a crime, really. They want to tell you what to think. They don't let you figure out how to think. They get you by the feels and run you around. You know, the horse's bridle pulls right, the horse's bridle pulled left, and they go back and forth. And we have to get away from being programmed that way. It's like, I think we need to turn off the TV and turn off the social media and not pay attention to that. Sure. Do our own thing. That's someone that I follow that talk. Giga on Biological talks about this, and I can't just if I'm responding to what they're doing, then I'm part of the dialectic too. You know, if I've got to stop reacting. In other words, if I'm reacting, let me put it that way, that I need to respond. We need to figure out how to respond.
Yes, we do. We really do. And you know, to be biblical about it, it's really hard, man, to turn the other cheek over and over and over and over. And I don't think we're taught to do that all the time about, you know, we've been taught to turn the other cheek, but we turn the other cheek about a lot of things we probably shouldn't, you know, like the church, our responsibility as a church. And I blame the church all the time, and I am the church, but we just want to protect our 501c3 and let bygones mm-hmm. be bygones. Hey, they don't affect me. Hey, I'm not going to, and I don't want to make this business, you know, government with politics and religion.
Yes, Tom.
Go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Stephen. Yeah, Stephen, listen, first off, we are the majority, okay? So you can't be saying that we're probably not winning the majority tomorrow. We are the majority. The white Anglo-Northern European male females are the majority of this country. So I don't want to hear that. That's nonsense. That's like telling the Jews in Israel, you're not the majority. The Palestinians are going to take over the whole country. But the Jews wouldn't tolerate that. They have triple-layer walls all around the state of Israel. Now, we need to adopt that policy. But here, I want to go back to this. You had three men that were supposedly white supremacists that kidnapped the governor of Michigan, which they found out was a lie. All three of them got freed the other day. Okay, that's a psyop they were using against old Aryans. We're going to get the governor Whitmer, the witch, wicked witch, is going. She's kidnapped, which was a big stinking lie by the kosher media. Okay, that's what we're facing, gentlemen. We are facing cabalists.
Absolutely.
Evil.
Hey, Tom, we mentioned last hour. We talked about that. Absolutely. We mentioned that PSYOP, how the Federal Bureau of Investigation is doing all these things. You remember the 1993 World Trade Center bombing? One of their informants had a video of them making the explosive, mixing it before, and he assumed that they would swap them out, and they knew it was coming. You know, they knew that was going to happen at the very least. You know, can't go say that they instigated and planned it from the beginning, but they knew it was going to come. The guy survived, you know, to tell the tale and put out the video of the quote-unquote terrorists mixing up the explosives, so... I mean, they've been doing this over and over again, Tom. I agree with you.
Yes, Stephen, you know, there was a congresswoman from Colorado. I don't know if you saw the video of her. She went to a movie theater. She was vaping, and they made a big stink on all these leftist communist news networks. And, she's vaping. Oh, she's laughing because she was watching a movie called Beetlejuice. And I was wondering if it was about Lori Lightfoot in Chicago and all the criminalities going, all these criminals that are going on in these... Yeah,
that's great. I sorry to interrupt you. I just noticed I've got a whole bunch of calls stacking up behind you, sir. I do always appreciate
you
your
got
calls,
it.
Though, Tom. And y'all,
you got it,
y'all
Steve.
Be sure to support RBN so we can keep these conversations going. Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Y'all always. Have a blessed weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Next up, I have
Patrick a blessed weekend,
Texas.
Thanks.
Thanks, Tom. Patrick.
The immigration is like Billy Roper, the Seal Law Network, said, you know, he wrote a book called The Bulk. We're all naturally just going to bulk now. It's going to happen anyway. You know, they got Wakanda, and, you know, Reconquista, and it's going to happen. So we should be prepared for that. But, you know, it's like Gun Owners of America says, you know, if we have to be these DAs from these big cities, they will not go in these small communities because they know they'll lose because we control the courts. And that's a stronghold. I mean, you know, keep that in mind. But FDR, he says, we're going to have military style courts. I don't care what you call it. And that's where the attorneys noticed that everything went from common law pleadings to statutory pleadings. It actually happened. And of course, Lincoln, he brought in martial law, and that's which basically turned all the law over to the military, and right now, it's like a gun owner or CSPOA Sheriff Richard Mack, you know, he has these constitutional sheriffs. They don't go far enough. They don't realize that you've got to stand for common law, not just if it's unconstitutional or not. And that's where the strength is going to have to come from. We're going to have to go back to our roots, back to what our founding fathers were. Like President Andrew Jackson was a common law lawyer. And that is the Bible, and that is God's law. It trumped all the rest of it. We had our own legal system, and they had theirs. It was called statutory law, which is corporate law. And they just like Roger Sales from... they took over from Winthrop. You know, he's preaching that, we got to change your status. Well, that's that's what they've done to us. You know, they've done it on a massive scale. They've turned everybody into corporations. And that's all I got to say. I thank you for taking my call.
Thanks very much for the call, Patrick. He is correct, but, you know, there's no magic bean, as Mike Gaddy will put it. I looked at some of that, and it's just horrifying once you discover the truth about what the world is really like, how we are really corporations, and they bid on us, and, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, that birth certificate and what that is, and that, yes, sir. David, let me let you respond to him there.
Well, I can't do anything but agree. I mean, we're in that spot, brother, and people are waking up to where we are. That's the beautiful thing about everything we're going through. We got to have a little pain to wake us up, and I hope it's enough pain. I don't want worse. I don't want, you know, civil war and all that crap that, you know, people think it's inevitable or this and that. And yet, back to the last caller before that, do we know how many other people have even come into the country in the last year and a half or two? And you know, it's really scary, so... You know, local, we keep going back to that. I think it just keeps coming back to what we have to do as individuals, as citizens, to be prepared, to raise awareness, to educate each other, and to act accordingly. And, you know, it's got to be a group effort. It's got to be peaceful. It's got to be that moment. I mean, if we were invaded by aliens right now, everybody on the planet would come together as one and you know, defeat the aliens. Or if we were in another war, all the Americans would come together and fight against the enemy. And why can't we do that without a war and without everything else? Why can't we work together to fix this system, to take back the government, to take back what's ours and our money and our, you know, expense? It's just crazy.
Well, I kind of look in the mirror. What can I do to, you know, I had this bumper sticker that says, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for yourself. That's kind of the way I see it. But that's, let me, and Jake, you know what, you're doing pretty much that same thing too out in Missouri. You still with us, Jake?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, well, I mean, we have to.
Before we go on the next caller, sir?
Well, we have to come to agreement on what our common goals are as a country, and we got to have that conversation with the neighbor that disagrees with us, even though that's uncomfortable. And we might have to buy some meat and throw it on the grill and invite them over for dinner and have a civil conversation, because the conversation that you have with that person that disagrees with you oftentimes is a lot more civil than it is the discourse that we see through the media and all that stuff. You know, they're really pushing division. And when you're sitting down face to face with somebody, you can oftentimes have a much more civil conversation. But the trap is to go to that anger, resentment, and all that pain that we're feeling because we're losing our country, and it puts us into a state of panic and fear, and we're not acting rationally when we do that, and they pick up on that, and so we can't have the right kind of conversation. So we got to get past that, and that's part of our responsibility.
Like it.
But there's a movement of people leaving the cities and coming to the country now, and they're starting the homesteading movement. I mean, the average farmer is pushing 60 years old now. So we're going to have a food crisis in the country if that part doesn't change. But it's slowly starting to happen, and I'm kind of part of that movement, even though I'm getting closer to 60 now. But I just basically bought some land and doing what I can do to raise my own food and, you know, decouple from that system, because we're dependent on foreign food. If you go down to the Mexican border and see how many trucks are coming across there that are feeding us, I mean, we got a problem there when we can't feed ourselves.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, sir. Well, okay, we have a couple more callers, y'all. And next I have Art in Georgia. Art, thanks for the call, sir. What's on your mind?
Good morning, gentlemen. Talking about January 6th, what I find amazing, I was there in D.C. on January 6th. We got there on January 5th. And so we watched everything that happened all that day and everything, you know, that happened on the 6th. And what I want to know is, why is it when people get to talking about January 6th and who did what and who did this and who did that and who did the other thing, no one seems to talk about those three minibuses that bust in a whole bunch of Antifa people the day before and were stirring up trouble that night? We actually watched it all night long. We watched how Antifa was antagonizing the police and fighting with the cops and everything else, but nobody talks about this. Why not?
Man, that's a great question. I just want to ask you, I know you saw Antifa. We did too. There was a lot of that, especially in the crowd on J6, you know, dressed as Trump supporters or dressed in all black. I mean, you can hear the whole crowd chanting at these people, F Antifa, F, I mean, the whole crowd, yep. We could see it was there. But let me ask you a question. Did you actually see those three buses, or did you see it like everybody else, the videos and stuff like that?
No, I actually saw the three buses parked downtown.
Okay.
And so I talked to some of the guys, in fact, after everything was said and done, because I was right there taking video of guys, of people breaking into the building. I was taking video of this, and I decided it was time for me to get out of there because I figured cops were going to be showing up pretty soon, and I didn't want to be a part of that. So I got out of there, and on the way back, walking to the train terminal to catch the rail train, because we stayed at the can't remember now, the Marriott Hotel right across the street from Ronald Reagan Airport is where we stayed. And I went back on the way back to the bus, the train terminal, to catch the train to go back over to Arlington. I actually run into about five or six guys who were laughing and joking and carrying on. And they were talking about how they helped agitate the crowd and all of this stuff. They were so proud of themselves. And I talked to guys at the motel that were with Antifa and asked them why they were doing this. And they were just, oh, we just want to make it where, what was it he said? We want to make sure that Donald Trump is not the next president. And the easiest way to do that was to rile up the crowd here today. And we were successful. And we were successful. But nobody wants to talk to me.
I do. I do. And I want you to reach out to me. Get the number to here, or you can email me at david@stophate.com. david@stophate.com. I want your story. I want to interview you. I want your video. And I'll put that everywhere, man. We have tried to really focus on the elements because a lot of people don't believe, oh, y'all just acted bad. You're blaming Antifa. No, that's the only Trump rally in history that didn't have a big Antifa presence visible across the street looking to beat up conservatives. So I believe you 100%. The only issue that I have with any of that, there was videos of Antifa buses, supposedly. They were actually, it's a Hispanic guy or Italian guy or something that is showing this video. It's a video of him showing his video, and that actually happened in Pennsylvania, I believe. Yeah. But there were some buses on January 6th that we found in the videos, and when I zoomed in, we did a forensic deal on them. They actually had policemen inside, and they were going to the Capitol. They had the helmets and the riot gear. I'm not discrediting what you say. If we could get video of it, I would love to. I know there were Antifa. I know they were paid to be there. I know that was organized, just like the cameramen inside the building that weren't beat up and weren't sprayed. They were just inside filming all the people that were beat up and sprayed. There's too much of that, and you're right, man. Antifa was hired to try to prevent Trump from being the president.
These little mini buses that I saw were white.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's.
They didn't look like school buses. They looked like passenger transport buses, like you would see. I don't know about where you are, but here in Georgia, where I live, we have county shuttle services.
Yes.
And the buses looked a lot like that.
That's awesome. Man, let's talk about it, brother. Come on, and david@stophate.com, write that down and send me an email, and we'll swap numbers, man. And I'd love to get more information about that. That's all I've done for the last 2.5 years, man. Talk to witnesses, you know, get their testimonies, get their videos, get everything that we can put back out to the public to prove what really happened. So, man, I appreciate you calling in today.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Art. I appreciate that. And next is Brian in Washington. Brian. Brian, are you there, sir?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian. You probably tell us about the biochar.
I'm here.
There you are. Hello, Brian. Hi. What's on your mind today, sir?
Well, you're open-minded about having different opinions on your show. Your guest here today is sounding like he's taken a communitarian course on how to change the world. It could be he's never heard of the word, but he sure does have all the buzzwords down. And, you know, his example of if space aliens came, we'd all come together. I think it could be having him back on, and possibly Laura could try and educate him. We have a huge problem. It is exemplified by the so-called resistance. So I'm looking at some chucklehead, Owen Benjamin, having a gathering in the Ozarks on Labor Day a few weeks ago. We're going to get together, and professionals on homesteading, homeschooling, and community building. So is this a little bit of a red flag? Very interestingly, this last week, Owen Benjamin and Curtis Stone, the urban farmer from British Columbia, decided they had a little tiff. So they went on and they yelled and screamed and hit the mute delete button a bunch. And it was a total 3-hour waste of time to listen to. But Curtis Stone, the urban farmer, did a YouTube yesterday. He's wants to talk about intentional communities as the solution. And, you know, you can just type the words into Wikipedia, and they'd be happy to tell you these are based on communitarian values. We are being hoaxed here. The solution to this has got a lot more to do with Lark's recommendations, and he's trying to steer us away from a huge hole in the ground, and what's in the bottom is not looking too pretty. So those are my comments, and with limited time, I'd love your guests to both weigh in on Ozarks.
Well, thanks for the call, Brian. David, have you heard of communitarianism? Are you familiar with Lark in Texas? And Fareed Zakaria talked about communitarianism too, and it's a
I'm afraid I'm apologetic. I am not familiar with that. I don't know what that is, but yeah, I try to understand what he's talking about. I think I do, but a couple of 30 years doing this, it's a and as a Christian, first and foremost, and as our duty to minister to the orphan, the widow, and the prisoner, that's where I try to focus my ministries. But how do we get the orphan, the widow, and the prisoner? That's part of the thing in the prevention part. And literally, Stop Hate is an acronym, and all it says is start turning off prejudice, heal attitudes through education. We need to not be so quick to prejudge just because the government says to prejudge, and we need to have those difficult conversations. Like the other caller was saying earlier, I mean, we just need to sit down face-to-face, have a cup of coffee, and, most of this is based on fear, and if we're going to live together peacefully, we have to get past that part, and that's not going to happen without communication and open dialogue. And I know a lot of this stuff is probably foreign because it's not celebrated or people aren't educated about it. I don't know about his comment about space. I think everybody uses that once in a while to say that. I only said it because I've heard it, but it is what it is, man. I just hope that people understand that and take proper steps to improve the quality of their world, like we were talking about earlier, for our kids, man. I don't want my kids growing up in a place like this. They deserve better.
Yeah, the future it horrifies me about what's coming up. What's going to happen to the kids and to the grandkids. And, that's – it looks like we're slated for extermination. This is just not a good sign. And doing something to fight back is better than nothing, It's like even if it's just making a movie or a little radio show. But people face-to-face, we got to be good to each other.
We do.
They're coming after all of us. How did he put it? If we don't hang together, we'll hang separately. Well, that's what's coming toward people who speak out, especially with the social credit score, digital currency. That's it's over for us if that happens.
Oh, and they're killing us. I mean, every day, look at all the people that got tricked into taking the jab. And, look at people in the elderly, in the nursing homes, and look at society is like, look at them poison our food, our water, our air, everything. I get it. I mean, it's a total war, but it's also an information war, and it's an influence war, and it's a community war. I mean, there's so many different things that you know, we can do to keep it from snapping off and popping off and getting violent or something, because that's not what will fix things at all.
That just plays into their hands. Hey, I really appreciate you joining me and committing some thought crimes live today. And Jake, it's always good to talk to you, my friend. And stay tuned tomorrow. Stay tuned for Paul Edward Stevenson right now, RBN, and then David Scorpio's show is at 5 p.m. Central tomorrow, debuting. And you guys, y'all be good to each other. Support RBN. Remember, thought crime a day.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.